Continue on in the book of Proverbs. We're doing some thematic studies from the book of Proverbs. That's generally what you do. And we're going to look at the words we use. Okay, are you cautious with the words you use? We should be, all right? I don't mean the manipulator who uses them well to manipulate to his or her end. I mean using our words wisely to honor our Lord, to represent the gospel in our words, because our words are formed where our attitudes are, in our heart. Jesus says that in Matthew 25, and we know that's true. So we want to be cautious with this. The outline today looks like this: the testing of character. Then we're going to talk about the words of the fool. Then we're going to talk about the words of the wise. So that first one there, it talks about the testing of character. And I've given you in your outline, there's only 2 points, but I've given you a whole bunch of other verses that talk about this type of thing. All right? We're going to talk letter A, we're going to talk about following God's ways. Letter B, we're going to talk about following the selfish ways. What we're going to be talking about here is lying. Our words express the reality of our heart. The words we use, they express our true character. If our words are silky smooth and dripping with icky honey, we're flattering and we're manipulating and we're trying to get our personal end. If our words are seasoned with the salt of the gospel, with the salt of God in his ways, now we're honoring and loving the person that we're talking to. Working at UPS, they have a policy. You don't hire family members, okay? In Oregon and Michigan, that's against the law. And so I was working there in Portland, and they were talking to this one gentleman who was working in my area. I thought he was just a champ of a guy, and he'd be a good partner in the area of management. So they were pursuing, and they finally told him that they were going to hire him. Your start date's in a week. And then they came to me, and they said, Jim, we need you to tell this person, and I don't remember what they wanted me to tell, but it was a lie. All right. They want it because they found out that he had a shirt tail relative in the far end of the building. The building's massive. It's the hub. It's big. And this guy was way over there. They would never cross paths, but UPS didn't want to violate their policy of hiring a family member because they might cohort together. And so I remember my boss, I really respect a lot. And he was asking me to go ahead and tell this person these kinds of things, and it offended me. And I realized at that point, thank you, Lord, for speaking into my life my whole time. Because I have heard many a man I respect teaching from God's word, talking about how to lie is a terrible thing. And so as I'm sitting there listening, I'll call this guy John, that's not his name, to the manager. I really respected him, and he's telling me all this stuff. And I finally said, John, I'm not going to lie for you. You got to know John gets angry, beet red. And I thought, well, there goes my job. And he said, Jim, no, you don't understand. I do understand, and I cannot lie. I'm not going to tell him that lie. If you want to tell him that, you go right ahead, right? And to which eventually John goes, Jim, you just don't understand the pressure I'm under. And I said, I sure do. And you're selling out your character right now. You're a better man than this. You can be better than this. But he's more concerned about his career. And I watched the temptation to lie, to gain, be greater than the desire for quality character. The thing is, the employee already knew everything, and he was already seeking out a lawyer. So it was fine that I didn't go that way. When I use illustrations like that, I'm not boasting on myself. You need to know that I'm boasting in Christ. Because what is rooted in the very heart of a human being is the essence of lying and other things. That comes from that old nature. And for someone who loves the Lord, who's in relationship with the Lord, to stand and cannot tell that kind of a lie to promote something, that is only a testimony to the gospel. That is changing a heart. Not to the person being so smart and cool and tough, but it's a testament to God's work, the Holy Spirit's work at transforming a character. Words expose the reality of our heart. They expose the true character of a person. So let's look at letter A. We want to talk about following God's ways. I've given you several verses there. Hopefully you'll go home and look at some of those. I'm only going to highlight a couple, though. If you look at chapter 12, verse 22 of Proverbs. We want to look at the second half. The first half talks against the one who does the falsehood, but we're focusing here on walking in God's ways. So it starts, it says, the Lord, then drop down to the second half, delights in men who are truthful. First of all, remember it's talking about men because these proverbs are compiled for young men as they're starting to make their mark in the world. They have been taught these things, but before they are reckoned as men of character, they're to be reading through these proverbs and learn from these people. It does not exclude women or the like, but it is focused on young men because they're the ones that is written for. So the Lord delights in men who are truthful. This gives you a clue to God's heart. God does not like falsehood, but He loves the truth. But notice, it's not truth that's the focus here. It's the person who is truthful. Are you truthful in all your dealings? See, that's what God delights. I am not truthful so I please God and earn my right before Him. I'm truthful because I love God, and that's how I express my love to Him, is being truthful. Notice that. It defines God's attitude. We'll see the opposite of that here in a little bit. Now I want you to just flip over to chapter 13, verse 5. We're going to look at just the first part there. Okay? And I want us to just read, and it says, the righteous what? Hey, that's a strong word. In my house growing up, I wasn't allowed to use that word. Sometimes I did, and I get in trouble. So when I have children, guess what? They use the word, and what happens? They get in trouble. This is a harsh word. Once again, this is telling us God's attitude towards lying and truth. The righteous hate what is fault. First of all, what is the righteous? Me being good enough to be just sharp. It comes back to the whole concept of Proverbs. It's me being humble enough to live in a relationship with my Creator, to live according to His way. I am righteous because I am not earning God's favor, but I am honoring God because I just love Him. I don't want to offend Him. I don't want to live in a way that discredits Him. A truthful man, a truthful person, is one who hates falsehood. Yeah, and it's really easy for us to say, I hate it in that person. What it's focusing on is on me. I hate falsehood. Not necessarily falsehood in others, that's true, but I hate falsehood in my own life. The illustration I gave at that point, and I say at that point because I'm as human as you and I waver, but at that point, I could not waver, and I hated falsehood right there. And by the way, we had a really good relationship after that, my boss and I. We always did, but it was even better because he knew who I was, he knew what I was studying, and now he saw my character follow through. Okay? All right. The righteous hate what is false. What is falsehood? What is a lie? It's misrepresenting reality. When you're lying, you're living in an alternate reality you have made up. When you believe a lie, you live in an alternate reality that somebody else has made up. I don't want to live in somebody else's head, in their imagination. I don't want to live in my head, in my imagination, because I'm messed up. I really want to live in reality and trust that God is going to take care of situation. So following God's ways is to live humbly as the Creator has called us. Here's the contrast, letter B, following selfish ways. We want to start there with chapter 10, verse 18 of Proverbs. All of these are kind of like in the saddle or a sweet spot, these chapters. Chapter 10, verse 18. He who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. We'll talk about slander in a little bit, so I want to focus more on that first part of that verse. He who conceals his hatred has lying lips. Now, does this mean when I hate you that I should go just tell you about it and scold you? That's not the way of a believer. Jesus had every right to hate us, didn't he? After all, we're hostile with God, Romans chapter 5. We're enemies of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Sin just permeates everything we is. God, Jesus, has every right to hate us. But God, so what? Loved the world. Gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So what is it in the wise heart? Forgiveness. It is the fool. It is the one who is not concerned about his relationship with Creator, that holds on to jealousy, that holds on to envy, those things we defined as causing anger. It is the fool who holds on to his anger and his hatred, and it begins to burn and seethe inside. That's why he's a hot-tempered person. That's why he vents so quickly. And by the way, the second half of that verse, whoever spreads slander is a fool. You know what happens when you hold up hatred? And you don't even work at forgiving the way God has called us to? It turns into slander. I've got to hurt this person at a deep level. That's what hatred is. It's like that burning, consuming fire. Look at chapter 12, verse 22. Going to look at the first part of the verse. We've already looked at the second part and saw God's attitude. He's delighted at the man who is truthful. Here in the first part, the Lord detests lying lips. Okay, kind of black and white, is it not? All right. It's not like he just has a hard time with it. It's a difference of opinion. It's all the nonsense that we try to justify. God detests. He hates it. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19, there are six things, yea, seven things that God hates. You get down to the last one, verse 19, he hates a false witness or a liar. And he also hates those who stir up dissension, troublemakers, like we talked last week. He's pretty serious about it. This is God's attitude against lying. We need to understand that lying is more than just telling you an outright lie. Lying looks like gossip. It looks like a rumor. It looks like slander. It looks like manipulation. We're going to see a lot of that as we look at the words of the fool. A lie is not just me telling you a fib, but it's my attitude. And it's an attitude that is rooted in hate. Here's another verse, chapter 14, verse 25. And the second part of that verse says, but a false witness is, what's the word there? Deceitful. Wow, kind of speaks to motive, right? Deceit is manipulative. Deceit is, I don't trust anybody to help me but me. Deceit is rejecting that God can really be trusted and that he really cares. Deceit means I have got to work you to agree with me, whether I'm right or not. And then we want to look at another one, chapter 24, verse 28. This one is in kind of the courtroom, but it applies in life in general. Chapter 24, verse 28. And it's pretty straightforward and clear. Do not testify against your neighbor without cause, or use your lips to deceive. Okay? A fool is one who lives out of his imagination. A fool is one who allows emotions to guide and direct his perspective. If you don't have a cause, you should not be accusing your neighbor. By the way, a feeling is not a cause. I feel like what they mean to do is, that's baloney. Your emotions are uncontrolled. Don't do that. It says, do not testify against your neighbor without a cause, okay? Just because you have a feeling. And by the way, the fool is one who is insulted, whether there's an insult or not. Because their imagination tells them. Their emotions are flowing before they have time to be rational. And by the way, when your emotions are flowing freely like that, You make up stuff. Don't do that. And then one more, chapter 26, verse 28. This is really telling about somebody who has a problem with lying. A lying tongue, what's the word? Hates those it hurts. It's not just a white lie. It's meant to harm. It's meant to hurt. Okay? It may be out of my brokenness, and my life has been a mess growing up, and so my anger comes out towards you. Shame on you. When you become older, you should be able to figure that out and find ways to control that. It could be me having an envious heart, and so I'm going to lie and strike at you. And it could be a lie that's just outright blatant. It could be gossip. It could be rumor. It could be a whole slander. Lying looks so many different ways. It says a lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works its ruin. Lying is rooted in hatred. Hatred is rooted in the old nature. If you're a believer, you're living in the new nature. What you hate are the things that God hates. Falsehood in my own life. Okay? And so we begin to live in God's ways. All right? That's the whole test of character. There's other ways to test character, but in the book of Proverbs, the whole concept of lying tongue was really strong, right? There are two ways to understand these sermons that I'm preaching. One way is to go, ooh, I need to recognize people who are fools. I need to recognize people who gossip, people who rumor, people who slander. I need to recognize these liars. Okay, and then if they're not going to respond to God in His ways, I need to avoid them. The Bible's really clear, all right? But the more important, that's one way to look at it. The more important way is to look at it and go, ooh, that's what a liar, a gossip, a rumor, a slanderer is. Am I anything that represents that? What do I need to do to not do that? What do I need to do to change that? The only one that does not recognize somebody as a fool is the fool. You understand? A fool can't see himself being foolish. After all, he's all right. He knows everything. And he's just going to make up things and decide how things are going. You are rational. And if you're in the right relationship with the Lord, you don't want to practice the things of a fool. And eventually you're going to recognize the fool. And as long as you don't give him a hearing, his words die. His attitude ends. He has no hearing. Right? He should listen to the wise. Okay. We're going to go on and look at the words of the fool. And I don't know if I have enough time to have you turn to every section of Scripture. They're all listed there for you so you can look at them. If you can keep up with me, that's great. But I'm not going to go slow enough for some of us all to follow along in the Bible. And that doesn't mean that the Bible is irrelevant. We're using God's Word. Okay? So we want to look at the words of the fool. We're going to look at his motive. Then we're going to look at the way he behaves. And then we're going to look at what the result is. We'll do the same thing for the wise words. Okay? Motive, behavior, and results. So let's look first of all at the fool's motive. There are three. Number one, violence. Really bothers me when somebody says, you know, so-and-so is good people. And the response is, yeah, but good people are not violent towards others in their words. And they're going to see later, they're not perverse in their words. And then they're not deceitful in their words. I want to be careful when we protect our friends who are misbehaving. If they're a true friend, you're going to call them on the carpet. Fool's motive. Violence. So if you look at chapter 10, verse 6, the second half says it very clearly. But violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. It may not come out like that all the time. They may be sweet and kind because guess what? There are people who are working you and they know how to do it. They got a silver tongue and they're working it for you and they're walking you in because you'll see later they want partners. Violence. And notice it overwhelms the mouth. It's like everything that comes out of this fool, everything that comes out of his mouth is somehow working towards the end of violence. I don't mean necessarily physical violence, but verbal violence. Have you ever seen an argument in public? Maybe in your home, somebody is angry and they pop a cork and they just go off? And it's only the two of you that are having the problem, right? You have polluted the environment of everybody in hearing. I come from a family where that mom and dad used to just blow up and argue. And I'm here to tell you, it affects everybody, and it's violent. It hurts. The children in a breaking up home are the ones that suffer. When you're out in community, the community suffers. I was at a gospel mission one time, and one of the guys was just unruly. So he had the director and a couple other guys in there trying to calm him down in the office. And he went berserk. He was screaming and yelling and hollering. And so the three of them, eventually, he got physical. They had to tackle him. But before the physicalness, the verbalness was just violent, meant to hurt. Chapter 12, verse 16, it says, "The words of the wicked, get this, lie in wait for blood." I know you don't watch Westerns, but there's this thing called the ambush. And the enemy is hiding in the bushes in the canyon. And then when the good guys come running through, they jump out and try and destroy them, right? That is the picture of what it means to be a fool. A fool, a gossip, a rumorer, a slanderer. Lying in wait. They want to destroy the person's reputation. That's the goal. Then chapter 25, verse 18. Catch this. Look at the tools of a fool. "Like a club or a sword or a sharp arrow is the man who gives false testimony against his neighbor." These are weapons of war. You see what God thinks about the person who lives in falsehood, who has the role of a fool. They don't have God's ways in mind. They're seeking after their own desires. And they'll use whatever weapon they need to. And some people are very skilled with that. And they can catch the gullible and sway people. We'll see that here. Here's a second motive of the fool and his words. Perversion. Again, we think of perversion and it's related to sex. It is, but it's related to everything else. I give you the definition. When you look in the dictionary, the definition of to pervert means to corrupt, to devalue, to interpret incorrectly, to twist. You want an example? Watch a political discussion. It's perverse. Here's the truth, and I'm sorry, but both sides take the truth and turn it to their end. Because they come up with conclusions that don't come from the truth. They come up with conclusions they want it to be. And the other way does the same. And so we are not talking about the truth. We're talking about our opinions. And then we just fight and argue all the time. For how long we've been around? 200 plus years? Just happens all the time. That's what it means to pervert. So chapter 10, verse 31, it says this, "A perverse tongue will be cut out." Please understand that word "cut out" in the Hebrew means punishment. Punishment will come its way. A fool eventually is found out if he is around people who are wise. And he faces the consequences, therefore. Remember what Proverbs says? Have nothing to do with that person. Okay? A fool is also found out in the court system and other places because his lies finally catch up to him. And then verse 32 of the same chapter, "But the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse." It's the contrast where the truthful person, the wise person, really wants to honor the Lord and people. But where the fool, only out of his wicked mouth comes perverse things. He cannot be trusted. Somebody who is a gossiper, a slanderer, one who spreads rumors, please understand, If they're rumoring, gossiping, or slandering, or lying about somebody else, they're doing the same to you. Especially if at one point you just don't agree with them, they'll turn on you. See, this is the mark of a fool and his words. Okay, so their motive is violence. Their motive is to pervert the truth. And then third is deception. And I've given you more verses, but I've only pulled out a couple. chapter 14, verse 25, it says, "But a false witness is deceitful, dishonest, really does not value anybody else as a person values only themselves, and they're going to be deceitful to their gain." Watch out for that person. Most importantly, don't you be that person. Then another verse, chapter 15, verse 4. "But a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Ongoing malice is like a dripping faucet. It wears you out and breaks you down. Even the wisest, most patient, and prudent individual can only take so much of the malicious needling. At some point, if he's standing alone, it's going to erupt." Protect each other from the one who is constantly trying to crush somebody's spirit. Recognize it and protect them. Okay, here's the fool's behavior, letter B. Number one, I said this many a time, his imagination determines his perspective. He sees something, he's not a person of wisdom in relationship with the Lord or walking in it. And so the first thing his imagination does is make up all the information he needs to reach a conclusion that his emotions are running him with. And so it determines the perspective. Most of the time it's twisted, it's skewed because he's perverse. Violence is his game, and deception is where he lives. And of course, everybody else is trying to live that way in his mind. Chapter 15, verse 7 says this, "The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of the fools. The fool is focused on his wants and his desires, not the community. His words focus on himself and his gain and trying to prove to you that he is deserving of the status. Where the wise isn't concerned about their status, they're concerned about the community and their walk with the Lord. Chapter 18, verse 13. "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame." This is talking about foolish arrogance. The fool already knows everything. He doesn't need to take time to figure out what you meant, what you said, what they're doing. He doesn't take time to figure out what their behavior demonstrates. He just jumps conclusions and goes off. Look at number two. His emotions cause him to vent. Any of you ever vent? One of the biggest tools I learned that helped our marriage immensely is sometimes a woman just needs to vent. Talk about her day. Carrie would come home and say some things, and I'd say, "Well, all you got to do is," and I start fixing, right? And next thing I know, this ain't going right. And next thing I know, I'm asking the question, "Are you mad at me? Why are you mad at me? I'm just," and there goes an argument, right? And then finally, after some time, she realized what was going on, and she had to come to an understanding. She said, "Jim, sometimes I just want to vent and let it out. Sometimes I want it to fix." "Oh, so when she start doing something, I say, 'Time out. Am I fixing or am I listening?'" "You're just listening." "Okay." And I can't tell you how many arguments that just got rid of in our whole family. So venting is not necessarily a bad thing. You need to vent in the right way, in the right place. And you can't stay in the vent. You can't stay in the rant. You have to get over it. What this is talking about here is his emotions cause him to vent. He has no control of his emotions, remember? And his emotions take over. And he's not interested in the facts. He's interested in what he thinks of the facts, his imagination. So chapter 10, verse 19, it says, "When words are many, sin is not absent. A fool is one who is impulsive. And when he stands up, he cannot stop." I don't have time to stop and make sure I have all the information correct because I already have it correct in my imagination. And so my emotions take over and here I go. You've been around people like that. Maybe you've been that person. Sometimes all you do is you got to sit back and go, "Yeah, we'll just wait until he gets it out of his system." Please understand, that kind of venting hurts not just one person, but the entire community, and it isn't right. Chapter 13, verse 3 says, "But he who speaks rashly will come to ruin." This shows a lack of patience, And it shows that he is full of inaccurate information. Don't bother me with the facts. I got them all in my imagination. And so you speak rashly. You speak without being reasonable, without the patience, without the prudence of wisdom. Then chapter 15, verse 2. But the mouth of the fool, get this, gushes folly. You ever seen a river just come and gushing out of the side of a mountain? Or a spring that is gushing, or some such thing. Maybe you've looked on YouTube and there's a dam that is broke. Here comes the gushing water. This is the picture of a fool who doesn't control himself. Why? Because he's seeking self-glory. And he's so afraid he's not going to get it that he has to overwhelm everybody as if that's going to win the day. He's not seeking the health of the community. He's thinking his own status and significance. All right. Third thing. He works to discredit another's character. Make no mistake. Hey, by the way, this is the practice of the Pharisees. I judge you so that I look good and feel good about myself. A fool is one who oppresses people with his emotions and imagination and his venting and so on and so forth. So much so that he is discrediting the character of those around them. He works to discredit another's character. Chapter 10, verse 18, he who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. When you hide your hate rather than learn to forgive the individual and fix the issue, it turns into slander. Hate always leads to slander when it's not checked. Slander works to ruin another's reputation. It's called character assassination. Because I need to be all that I think I should be. You are not going to realize because you're naive how cool I really am. So I've got to show you. By opening my mouth, doesn't realize it, proving the opposite. But if I can speak rashly and attack, and I attack another person's character, then you might see that I really am smart. Look at chapter 15, verse 4. It says, but the deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. The intent there is to do harm. The one writing the Proverbs has observed all of this. The one who motivated the author of Proverbs, the Holy Spirit, knows that about the human soul. It's rooted in that sinful nature. That's what we're talking about. And that new nature, born again, it's born free of these things. That's the nature that a believer needs to live in. There's one more here when we're talking about the fool's behavior. He is always seeking partners. Always. I've always heard that a person who likes to drink in excess likes to drink with others. Bring somebody along. Have some good old boys. Have some friends. The same thing is true with the fool. He loves to gather around him people who are following him. That's his goal. I'm going to assassinate character. And so you're going to come around me so that I feel significant. It's false security. It's false significance. The only place you can find significance is the one who created you, and that's God. That's what gives you credibility and value. That same God died on the cross for your sins and the sins of this world. There's where your value is. You don't have to go and strive for it and look for it. You have it in Christ. You have it in God. If you want any more than that, then you're looking for it in the human effort. And you're going to be disappointed. He's always seeking partners. Look at chapter 17:4. A wicked man listens to evil lips. A liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. Gossip and slander, they're juicy. They're hard to say no thanks, aren't they? When someone starts floating out gossip, especially when they're really skilled, and especially if it's somebody that you appreciate, all of a sudden it's like, ooh, do tell. I can't wait to hear. So now I'm in the know, right? And I have some power, right? That's all humanistic stuff. The wise. Evil words die without a welcome. Somebody is gossiping with you. slandering, malicious, lying. It's alive as long as you listen. Stop it. You go tell the person first, and then I'll talk to them. If you tell me this stuff, I'm going to go straight to them and talk with them. Your gossiper will stop. Right? Take away the fuel by not listening. Hey, but pastor, they're a good friend. They're good people. No, they're not good people. If they're out gossiping, they're not being good at that point. And stop them. Especially if it turns to slander. Then chapter 21, verse 28 says this, a false witness will perish, and whoever listens to him will be destroyed forever. This is the heart of God. He does not like the one who lies. He desires, he loves the one who is truthful. All right, look at letter C, the fool's results. Number one, he is useless. Pretty negative, isn't it? He is useless. And I add to the community because that's the whole concept of the book of Proverbs. Okay, chapter 10, verse 20 says this, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. That's not what the fool thinks. The fool thinks, I am so valuable, you're just too naive to even understand. So I've got to force you. I've got to help you get it, right? And so then they fight and they strive for that significance, only to hurt people. Only to hurt people. Then another verse, chapter 10, verse 21. It's the following verse. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment. They have no nourishment for others. Why? Because they're only focusing on themselves. And they're using you, if you let them. All they have is starvation. Number two, another result. He brings shame and disgrace. Chapter 13, verse 5. But the wicked bring shame and grace. The shame and disgrace is on themselves, but it's also on the community if they allow it to continue. Then number three, he will face punishment. Right? You ever wonder why somebody does something and they didn't get punished for it? Hey, God's a big God. And that time will come. Chapter 14, verse 3. A fool's talk brings a rod to his back. A rod is often in the book of Proverbs used when somebody is prideful. It's used to discipline or punish the pride in a human being. A fool in his heart is proud. Chapter 19, both verses 5 and 9, they're identical. They repeat themselves. It says, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who pours out lies will not go free. Right? This is God's promise. Then look at number 4. He earns God's anger. He earns God's anger. Chapter 6. Verses 16 and then 19. That's the place where it says there are 6 things God hates. Yea, there are 7. You drop down to verse 19 and he says, a false witness who pours out lies and a man who stirs up dissension among his brothers. So God hates liars and he hates, which includes gossipers, slanderers, rumors, but he hates those who are troublemakers. We looked at a lot of those last week. That's pretty negative, right? It's meant for you to go, wow, where am I behaving in such a way that I need to allow God's Word and Holy Spirit to transform me? And it's also designed in Proverbs for you to go, I don't want to hang out with those kind of people because they're not growing in Christ. Now we want to look at the words of the wise. This should be positive, okay? So it starts out, letter A, we want to talk about their motive, the wise person's motive. What do you think their motive is? When you go through the book of Proverbs, when you go through the Bible, number one, to honor the Creator. I am not, Malcolm and I just had this discussion a little bit before the service. I don't do things God's way so that God says, attaboy, now we can have a good relationship. You deserve me. You can do nothing to gain all that. But after God has done everything, we go, man, I'm so overwhelmed. And I choose to follow after Christ, which means that I want to walk in your ways. And so I bring honor to you just because I love you for everything you've done. I'm going to honor you, and it may not work out for me on this earth. Still, I'm going to honor you because I love you. There are several verses there, but chapter 12, verse 22, the second half, it says, "The Lord delights in men who are truthful." This is God's attitude towards those who have words that represent reality. Chapter 9, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Remember that wisdom, the wise person. It's not someone who has great or good human intelligence or ability, but it is one who is humbly living in relationship with Creator and obeying His ways. This is the wise person, and allowing God's ways to transform him. Look at number two. Here's the other motive for somebody who is wise: to honor the teacher of wisdom. When someone is taking the time to teach you something that is wisdom in this life with the Lord, you should honor that. It should be respected. What happens with a lot of young people, and it's pretty loud the past few years, if you're over 30, you're useless. This is a thing that comes from the church. You're over 30, you're useless. You've overstayed your welcome. My goodness, if those young people just listen to all of us that have been over 30, we've got a lot to talk about. I've been there, I've done that, I have the t-shirt for it all. Right? That's the hardest thing to help a young person understand. It's a hard thing to help a fool understand, because a fool thinks he knows it all. Okay? So the verse I give you is chapter 23, verses 15 and 16, where it says, "My son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad. My inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right." What is it that honors the one who is teaching wisdom? When you listen, and when you practice, and when you teach it to somebody else. That is wisdom related to the Lord. Here's a third motive, number three: to teach God's wisdom to others. Chapter 10, verse 31, it says, "The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. A wisdom learner becomes a wisdom teacher." You really aren't learning anything unless you can teach it. Chapter 15, verse 2, "The tongue of the wise commends knowledge. It's not impulsive, but patient and prudent, and looking to understand the situation, and then being able to speak accurately, correctly, and helpfully into it." And then chapter 15, verse 7, "The lips of the wise spread knowledge." The wise have something to say. You want to know why? Not because they're smart humans, but because they're in relationship with Creator. They're enjoying Him in humility. "And I've got a lot to tell you about my Lord and Savior. And here it is. I got a lot to say." Where the fool? Fools are empty inside. They have nothing to say, because all they want to talk about and promote is themselves. Letter B, the wise person's behavior: a calming patience. We've talked about this before. When the situation comes, an insult comes, it's forgiveness first, and then try and understand and figure it out. Chapter 17, verse 27 says, "A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even tempered." Restraint means to, well, consider before the impulsive action, but to consider, to give careful thought to one's response. Because you don't want to just lamb blast. You don't want to just attack somebody. You want to prove that you're all that. What you want to do is help the community find harmony and accuracy and truth. The fool is one who is impulsive and just vents. Blows up. Chapter 21, verse 23. "He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity." The wise are careful with their words, because they don't want to harm others in the community. To impulsively explode, or just to cast out my opinion before I know all the truth, or make it up in my imagination, let my emotions go, that harms the community. The wise is not interested in harming the community, but helping the community. Nor does he want to hurt himself. Because when we are impulsive, emotional, or out of our imagination, we say things we don't mean. Later, we are ashamed. A wise person tends to hold back. Number two, thoughtful prudence. I'll give you the definition of prudence again. I think I gave it to you the past couple weeks. Careful about one's conduct, mindful of potential circumstances. You want to be careful. You don't want to hurt the community. You don't want to harm yourself. So chapter 13, verse 16 says, every prudent man acts out of knowledge. He gains a full understanding before he casts judgment. He wants to make sure that he's doing correctly rather than making it up in his head. Chapter 15, verse 28, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers. And think about it. What is really being said? Seeking to heal, not attack. In chapter 25, verse 11, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. They're healing words. Healing words from a wise person. Remember, one who is walking humbly with the Creator and in His ways. Those wise words come out like fine jewelry. That's what it's depicting. I want you to understand something. Sometimes a rebuke is good words. All right? The fool, about every time he opens his mouth, he wants to rebuke. That's not good. But there are times when a rebuke is choice silver. Right? Any of you ever raised children? And I bet you never did rebuke them, right? You rebuked them, didn't you? Did you rebuke them because you were mad? Maybe sometimes. But the reason you rebuked them is because you love them. And if you're a good parent, you're parenting them for their future, not your immediate convenience. So there are times when a rebuke is appropriate. Okay? But if somebody's walking around just rebuking everybody and they think their spiritual gift is the gift of rebuking, they better rethink, because that's from the old nature. Let's see. Number three, they're a lover of honesty. We've already talked about this one earlier. Chapter 13, 5, it says, the righteous hate what is false. And remember, this is more about what's inside of them, not what's outside of them. A person who's more worried about what's out here, okay, is not walking with the Lord, because the Lord calls us to live in harmony with Him, and we need to be checking ourselves. There are too many people that walk around and hold everybody else accountable. Stay away from those people. They do not have the community's best interests at heart. They have their own at heart. Number four, celebrates wisdom learned. We've already looked at this verse, but my son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad. Look at that. The son, if he learns and begins to teach and practice wisdom, should do it the other way, practice and teach wisdom, then it makes the wise teacher's heart glad. Later on it says, my inmost being will rejoice. Do you get excited when you watch maybe your children or somebody else really just learn how to walk with the Lord? It excites me to no end. It's as exciting as watching somebody come to Christ. Because an immature Christian is a pain. But when they're growing up in Christ, it's as exciting because it means they're being obedient and God's work is doing a remarkable thing. The wise person's results, letter C. Number one, nourishment for others. You know what nourishment is? You have a baby, bottle-fed, breastfed. That baby's being nourished. Lovingly, tenderly, fed correctly. The same thing happens for the toddler, the teenager, and so on. I know the teenager begins to forage for themselves, but there's a way to nurture as well. So here, a wise person is one who nurtures, brings nourishment for others. Chapter 10, verse 21, the lips of the righteous nourish many. That means it benefits others spiritually. Not just in the way of worldly wisdom. We're talking about godly wisdom. How to live by Creator's ways and for Creator. Remember earlier in this other verse, the second half says basically that the fool brings starvation. Can't feed himself. Look at number two. The wise brings healing to the community. I've said that over and over. Chapter 12, verse 18. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. They work to understand the truth and the facts rather than letting their imagination and emotions make it up. And they rebuke when necessary. But the rebuke is out of knowledge, not out of emotion and imagination. And so it comes out correct. And it comes out in love. Depending on the attitude and behavior of the person, sometimes it has to come out a little forceful. Chapter 12, verse 25, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. He's an encourager. An encourager. He's not always looking for the bad stuff to pick on and to voice. That's a person trying to proclaim that they're self-important. But a wise person longs to bring harmony to the community. One way to do that is to bring encouragement. Look at number 3. Brings harmony to the community. Chapter 15, verse 1. You've heard this one. A gentle answer turns away wrath. A gentle attitude promotes God's kind of love or God's heart. A harsh attitude promotes the person, like the fool. And then chapter 15, verse 23, a man finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. So apt reply, that's a thoughtful content. You want to know what's going on before you blurt it out, before you decide and make things up. And of course, timing is everything. Number 4, he remains a lasting influence. Remember the fool? Of little value, useless. One who is wise. Remember, one who is wise is not the smart guy, but it's the one who's walking in relationship with the Lord, calling people to the Lord, bringing God's kind of harmony, God's kind of love, God's kind of healing to the community. Here we're speaking of believers, but it can also involve those who don't know the Lord. There's a whole character that is being created by the Holy Spirit, love. It looks like joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. All right, here's 3 verses. Chapter 10, verse 6. Blessings crown the head of the righteous. This is God's attitude. For those who are walking in relationship to Him, they get a crown. And it's blessings from God. Chapter 10, verse 20. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. This is the value of one who is walking in wisdom with the Lord. His words become like silver. Not just silver, but choice silver. And then chapter 12, verse 19. Truthful lips endure forever. They're remembered in a positive light. This talks about the quality of the wise. I have some applications there. I'm going to let you read them. I don't need to explain them. Would you read them for me? Okay. Let me back up. Don't read them for me. Read them for you. Right? Because it does nothing for me if you read them. Oh, it can encourage me. But more importantly, they're there to help you know what to do with this sermon. Though, as we preach through the book of Proverbs, it's extremely practical. Hopefully. Right? So let your words be seasoned with salt, is one thing Jesus said. What is that salt? It's the salt of the gospel. It's the salt of the character of God. And I do not need to walk around and be Mr. Boss for God. He's better at it than me or you. And so what we need to do is live in such a way that demonstrates our true humility to Creator in His ways. And then teach that. Father, I want to thank you.